Good morning, Dr. Strawn.
Good morning.
Okay, can you tell us a little about when you were born and a bit about your parents and grandparents?
Yes, I was born in a place called Overtown, which is located on 17th Street and First Court. We lived there for a period of time. My parents, Edmund and Isadora Strawn, then moved to the project in Liberty City called Liberty Square Project. And that's where my life really began, in the project.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about growing up and any experiences you had about growing up?
Growing up, I was proud of being myself. And I made up my mind at an early age of around 5 years old that I was going to be somebody in life. And I got the experience in the project, competing in athletics, competing with other students in the classroom, because I wanted to be the smartest in the class. And I had kept that to myself, however, but then I worked real hard doing that. And I attended Dorsey High School.
Okay, as a child, what places do you go and were they segregated?
Places I travel?
Yes, like what places did you like going and were they segregated?
Okay, during that time, everything was segregated. So I'm going all the way back into the 50s. And we could not go downtown and try on outfits. We could not go to the restroom but one, and that was the courthouse. So if you were shopping and you ended up on Biscayne Boulevard and you had to go to the restroom, then you were in tough luck. You just had to hold it and hold it till you got back to the courthouse or back home. And then your parents will get angry with you. You knew you had to go to the restroom. You should have gone before you left here. Now I got to take you all the way back there and come back where I am. So it was a disadvantage, but an advantage because we had a chance to fight for that.
Do you have any haunting memories of discrimination?
December 18th?
Do you have any haunting memories of discrimination, personal memories for yourself?
Yes, when I became a man. Well, being segregated, I knew where to go and what to do. However, as I grew up, my first experience, and I've written a book on all of my integration, disadvantage, and it's called The Day County Schools. It should be a copy in your library. And in this book, I made mention of a visit to Orlando to the Tangerine Bowl to see a football game. And I sat in the usual seat where most blacks sit during an integrated game. But this particular night, two white teams were playing, and one was Miami Edison. So I wanted to see Miami Edison band, being a band director. I wanted to see what they were doing. Then the police beckoned for me to get out of that seat and go back to the end zone. And I went to the end zone, and when I sat there, someone slipped up to me and hit me in the head with a hammer and told me I should never sit up there with white folks. I'm supposed to be right back here. So there was a police officer, and I said, "Sir, would you kindly tell this gentleman to get out of my face?" And the police officer turned his back on me. So when I looked around, I was the only black person at that stadium. So I just told the guy, I said, "Nah, I can't do anything to you now, sir. You look just like Harry Truman." I said, "But if I ever see you again anywhere, I'm going to blow your brains out." And I felt good about that, and I just walked on out of the stadium.
Wow. Okay, do you remember any local or national efforts to bring back full civil rights to black Americans?
Repeat that again.
Do you remember any local or national efforts to bring full civil rights to black Americans?
In terms of restaurants?
Or any civil rights to black Americans in this country?
Any civil rights in the
mm-hmm.
country?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can just say I met a lot of them. I met Reverend Martin Luther King, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. I was a part of the Black Caucus in Miami, and the Democratic Party, so we did a lot of traveling, so I had a chance to meet many of these outstanding people so I can get some strength. I met Coretta Scott King. I spent some time in Atlanta. And so I met a lot of people in the civil rights movement, if that answers your question.
Okay, can you tell us, you mentioned the Black Caucus, that you were a member of the Black Caucus. Can you tell us a little bit about that, give us some more insight?
The Black Caucus became prominent after we began to get a lot of blacks in Tallahassee, such as Wilbur T. Holloway, and Yoli Robinson, and Philip Brutus, and Edward Bullard, Lassenia Bullard, and Senator Frederica Wilson. We started many years ago working in the Democratic Party. I was never a person to be out front. I like to stay in the background. So we set plans in order to get more blacks to vote and more blacks into the seats in Tallahassee. And we started out with two. And the first two was my football coach. His name was Kershaw, Coach Kershaw. And we also had another lady by the name of Gwen Cherry. So those were the two people who got us started in politics and to organize the Black Democratic Party in Dade County.
How did your school handle the efforts to integrate? What do you remember about early days of like integration?
Integration came in the 60s, as you're well aware. And I was working at a school called North Dade Junior High School. We got the letter that we had to be integrated into other schools. I was sent to Miami Central. And some of the other teachers were sent to other schools. Our principal was, all the black principals were demoted to assistant principals. So when I got to Miami Central, I was full of hate. And when I got there, there were only 200 blacks and about 1,800 white students and a few Hispanics at that time. And would you believe that we were, the students were not allowed to go into certain restrooms. The students were not allowed to sit in the front of the classroom. All the black students had to sit in the back. And they were never addressed to answer any questions. They were completely ignored. My experience, I was teaching typing. And this white student, she refused to listen. She said because her father told her, do not let an N teach you because they are no good. And so I reported it to the principal, and the principal invited the parent out and told the parent, he is the teacher. Now, if you don't want her to be in his class, then you take her out of the school. So now I passed the word that we were being backed by the principal. But I must say this to you, and it's written in the book. We had to turn the school around. We had the biggest riot over at Miami Central back in 1967 when 15 students met at my house and a few of the teachers. I didn't tell them to do it, but we talked about Malcolm X and how he fought for integration. And as a result of that, during the lunchtime, they changed and put on white t-shirts. I'll never forget. They went in the cafeteria and they hit a few students, and in about 2 minutes the cafeteria was emptied. It gave us a chance to have a meeting with the Human Relations Board, and these students began to tell us exactly how they were treated at Miami Central. There were no black cheerleaders, there were no black members of any of the clubs like Sorota. There were only one black person in the band. He was not treated fairly. So after 5 days of meeting, then the whites began to leave this area, and then the blacks began to come into this area, and today Central is different. Tech High was not here at the time, but Central change made it better for Tech High to be placed here where it is today.
Okay, you just mentioned that in 1967 there was a riot, and
67.
67, yes. And later that year, 1968, do you remember any thing about the riots in Liberty City in 1968?
There was a riot when Clifford McDuffie was killed by police officers, and I met with a few people. I didn't become involved. I always stayed in the background, but everybody began to throw Molotov cocktails. That was a bomb that you can put together in about 2 minutes. Just put it some kerosene in a bottle and put a little rag in there, and then you stick a match to it, it will blow up. So they didn't have any other strong weapons, so they used that. And fortunately, I was playing a dance, and I was on my way home down 22nd Avenue. I was coming through Scott Project, and I saw the cans out there, and I saw kids with bricks. And this young man, he ran to my car to hit the windshield because I had a nice looking Mercedes-Benz. So he probably thought I was white. And he came to the windshield, he's getting ready to slam it. And he said, Mr. Strong, excuse me, man. I didn't know that was you. It taught me right there to mix with people, let people know who you are. And had I not met that young man in one of the classes, he would have smashed my windshield. So as a result of that, we got together and we met with the human relations and resolved a lot of things, and some people were arrested.
Okay, do you remember going to Virginia Key Beach? Where did your family
go? That was the only beach we could go to. So we were not used to any swimming pools because we didn't have any swimming pools. There was one swimming pool on 71st Street and 17th Avenue, and they allowed us to swim for like 10 cents. Most of my swimming was at a rock pit around 75th or 76th Street. It's now home, but there was nothing but a rock pit. And so they opened up Virginia Beach for colored. And everybody was so happy we can go to the ocean and swim. And so we had to travel at least 12 miles to get there. And so we started going there. We were not allowed to go beyond that. We could not go into Key Biscayne. We had to make that left turn and go right straight into Virginia Beach. And we stayed there until night, and we would go back home.
Okay, how do you feel about Miamians trying to preserve the landmark of Virginia Key Beach?
I think it's very fortunate for the young people like yourself to know how it got there and to work with the group. There's a group headed by Maude Newbold, and she meets every month, and they're trying to get more money to improve the area and to make it a landmark with pictures of persons who were responsible. We have a Dr. John O. Brown, the first optometrist in Miami, along with a Reverend Graham who died. He was the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. And there was a Garth Reeves who is still living. He owns the Miami Times. So these people, along with about 25, went out there and took a swim. Some of us were arrested. And after we went to jail for a few days, then the committee got together and they said, well, we'll let the ends go somewhere and take a bath. So they gave us Virginia Beach. And today, it is still Virginia Beach, but with needs improvement.
Okay, I know you were part of the Virginia Key Beach committee. What are your plans for helping preserve the beach?
First of all, we would like to get all the mementos of persons, like pictures that were a part of the beach, and place it in a museum so everybody could see what has happened, because a lot of the history of Virginia Beach is lost. And we're now working to try to retrieve most of that information and set up a museum for blacks so they'll know exactly what happened.
What is your perspective of students doing a project and learning about Virginia Key Beach?
Repeat that again.
What is your perspective of students doing a project and learning about Virginia Key Beach, the landmark?
All right, to set up a class. We're working on to set up a class in each school. And this will be one of the schools to indoctrinate and to educate the students on what is happening, what they can do to fulfill the dream that we're looking forward to.
Okay. Is there any other stories that you would like to share about your life as growing up in Miami?
Yes, how much time do I have? Because I can go all day. I just want to say this. It's important for everyone to make up your mind what you want to do in life. Everybody is given 24 hours in the day. It is all depends on how you use those 24 hours. You have about 7 hours in school. The other hours are spent at home on the job. So you've got to utilize that. If you don't utilize those extra hours, then you're going to end up in jail like so many people because they did not utilize those extra hours positively. They got involved.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Strong.
My pleasure.